When we pray the Creed, and I do encourage us to pray it, sometimes we're by rote, we just simply pray it. We don't take stock of the words. We just have it memorized, and maybe 5 years ago, 5.5 years ago, when we had the translation change, maybe it was a chance for us to kind of pay attention. One of the things that changed is we changed the words creator of the seen and the unseen into the visible and invisible, because unseen is very different than invisible. Unseen means I can hide around the corner and you don't see me and I'm unseen. Am I invisible? No. We believe the visible and invisible worlds, that God created both of these. And we're relatively comfortable with the invisible world as long as we think of the invisible world as the angels and the saints, those who have gone before us. But we're not so, as a society especially, comfortable thinking about the opposite side of the invisible world, the world of demons. And even as I bring that up, it might bring, well, that's we've all put that in the past, and maybe even angels too. I don't know, but the church certainly hasn't taught against angels or demons. And we've, in our society, modern society, have found a nice way to define against demons. Well, it's all psychological. There's something else. It's all ancient mumbo jumbo or whatever it is. But we have to remember that in the scriptures, the one that talked about Satan the most is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, who would know if there's a Satan or not. He's not just a figment of imagination. He's not just a clever literary device. He's not a character to remind us to be good to one another. Rather, Satan is real. And we hear about Satan even in the first chapters of Genesis. And all Satan weaves his way through scriptures. He's not the hero at all. He's dumb. He doesn't even know he's been conquered. By the very first chapter, he's been conquered. Because God had a plan in the very first beginning. If God didn't have a plan, he wouldn't have created Adam and Eve. Period. God knew what Adam and Eve were going to do. And today in our first reading, we hear that story again of after the fruit. If you remember the story well enough, right before this, of course, God creates them in the garden. It's a place of beauty and all delight. They have everything they need, and God gives them the one rule: do not eat of the tree in the middle of the garden, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For if you do, you will die. And the serpent comes, and did God really say that? He really didn't mean it. What he meant is, if you eat it, you'll become like him. He doesn't want you to become like him because he's jealous. You can't trust that God. You can trust me, though. Go ahead. And Eve looks at it and says, the text says, she looked at it and saw it was good for food. She took it and ate and gave it to her husband who was with her. And with that, their eyes are opened and they hide. Because how they were originally created, that original justice, as the theologians talk about that, they were comfortable in their own bodies, they were comfortable in their own flesh, and they were naked, but without shame. They had everything they needed. They didn't have to work for it. They had everything. Intimate communion with God, communion with each other, communion with all of nature. And in that denial of God, evil crept into their hearts. But God had a plan. God knew what he was going to do. And so, I'm not calling God dumb, but he plays naive. Where are you? He was hiding, Adam. Who told you you were naked? He knows. And notice what happens. They start pointing the fingers at everyone. Oh, the woman gave me the fruit. Oh, the snake told me. And everything enters. And because of that first moment, that first sin, original sin, we are prone. We are capable of being deceived so easily. We're prone to being pulled in all sorts of directions. And as I already said, Satan weaves his way throughout scriptures, not as the conquering hero, not as anything other than not even a tragic. He really is a comic figure when you think about it. He doesn't even know he's licked yet. But he keeps acting up. And he acts up in three ways primarily. And he continues to act up in our own lives in these same three ways. Of people denying he exists. And we hear that in the scriptures, you know, the Pharisees, it can't be, you know, he's out of his mind. Jesus is just out of his mind. We deny the existence of Satan, the existence of evil. And it's not that a demon is hiding under every rock or we have to be terrified, but we do have to be aware. Luckily, in the church, we find, hopefully, a lot less denial than we used to. And it's hard to deny, again, as if we understand that there is an invisible reality, there might be some credence to this belief in Satan, that he exists, at least. But most of us fall into the second one, this deception and distortion. And notice how he was able to work in Eve's life. Did God really say that? He plants the seeds of doubt. He distorts the truth. Yes, God did say, don't eat, otherwise you will die, but, oh, you won't die. Well, they did suffer a death, not the physical death, but they suffered a spiritual death. Their relationship with God was done. Their relationship with each other was damaged. Their trust of all creation was damaged. Work, if you are upset at having to work, blame Adam and Eve. Because they believed the lie, the deception. And even if we see through the lies, see through the distortions, we still fall to a third kind of form. This is where I fall time and time again. Distraction. Oh, we have it in two forms, and summertime is a prime form for one of them, where we get distracted at our own leisure. We just kind of relax and we just kind of let things happen, and we don't spend time in our spiritual life to really enter in and to allow Jesus Christ to be in our lives. And so Satan and the demonic gets a hold of us, not that we have to be terrified of it, but we have to be aware of it. He gets a hold of us that we just simply go along with it. Or the other form of distraction, it's a four-letter word. It's my favorite four-letter word in the whole world, and you've heard me say it before. Busy. We just get busy. We get busy with so much stuff that we focus, do this. This is where Satan is most alive in my life. So busy with everything that I forget to take time to pray. So busy with everything that I forget. And by the time all is done, I'm in a bad mood. I'm sure I'm the only one that's ever experienced that too, right? I hear a little laughter, not much. What are we to do? We hear in the gospel that Jesus Christ comes to confront the demonic. The scribes and the Pharisees, it's by Beelzebul that he drives out demons. And Jesus says, look, in the end, it's a nice way of saying, look, if Satan is raised against Satan, he's done, it's over, it's all ended. But if it's by the finger of God, you better beware. And I especially like this last little parable he gives, that the thief cannot come in and plunder the house unless the strong man is first tied up. Who's the strong man in our lives? The Holy Spirit. The strong man wants to dwell in our hearts, in our lives. We've just celebrated that 3 weeks ago with Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in our lives, to be that strong person in our life. And when the Holy Spirit comes, he reminds us that God does exist. When the Holy Spirit comes, he reminds us of the truth. When the Holy Spirit comes, he gives us proper rest, that we can properly rest in him. Jesus Christ comes to conquer evil, to conquer the demonic. We don't have to be afraid. In a previous parish, every time in fifth grade when I go into the classrooms, or religious ed classrooms, I guess you could call it, about fifth grade, I get the question about demons. It would freak the catechist out every single time. And I would always remind them, if you want true power, which those that dabble in Satanism, those that dabble in the occult, that's what they so often are looking for. They want some control, some power. But if we want true power, true control, we turn to the Holy Spirit. Because God created Satan. We forget that. And God, if he wanted to, could just snap his finger and Satan would cease to exist. He could do that. But God, for whatever reason, has chose to allow Satan for now. But God has given us Jesus Christ, who is stronger than Satan. Because God, Jesus Christ, is God. We have nothing to fear because God dwells in our hearts, in our lives. And as St. Paul says in today's second reading, this momentary weight of glory, this momentary affliction is giving way to the weight of glory. That weight of glory is God's presence in our lives if we allow God to be present in our life. This day, God reminds us he wants to be the strong person in our house. And if he is, nothing can hurt us.